We're going to hear from God's word now, and Dave's going to read to us today.
So this is from Peter's first letter, 1 Peter chapter 5. And now, a word to you who are elders in the churches. I too am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ. And I too will share in his glory when he's revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you. Care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honour. In the same way, you younger men must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you serve each other in humility. For God opposes the proud, but favours the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honour. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen.
We thank God for his word to us today, and we pray that God will help us to grasp what he's saying today. This series of sermons that we're in at the moment came out of a conversation that I had with somebody last year, where this person said to me that there were some texts in the Bible that actually seemed to make life worse for them rather than better. So I went to the leadership of the church and said, right, give me your texts that make you feel worse rather than better. And we're looking at some of them over these weeks at the moment. So we started off by looking at texts that tell us to be joyful at all times. And we asked the question, like, am I really meant to feel joyful at all times? And last week we looked at the text that talks about us being more than conquerors. We were saying, am I really more than a conqueror? So those sermons are online if you want to listen to them. Today we're looking at this text, which in one translation is translated as cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. The translation that we read from talks about giving all our worries and cares to God. And the comment that was made on this text was that this is a difficult thing to do, and it's very, very easy to say, right, I've given all my worries, I've given all my cares to God, but to keep worrying about them, to keep being anxious about them. And perhaps sometimes we can actually almost feel guilty about the fact that we're anxious. And in some way feel that we're a bad Christian because we are like that. If you've never felt that, blessed are you. But I suspect that some of us here this morning have felt that. You know, thinking of the sermon so far, oh, I don't feel joyful. Everybody else here is joyful. I'm feeling anxious. Nobody else is anxious. You know, I don't feel like I'm more than a conqueror. Everybody else does. Of course, none of that is true. We're all people who are learning. We're all people who are struggling. But I would like us to think a bit about this idea of giving our anxiety to God today. Now, one of the things that we are increasingly aware of in Britain today is anxiety as being an issue to do with mental health. I don't think that that's mostly what Peter was thinking about, but I suspect that some of us might as we look at this text. So I want to say a few things about that. The modern definition of anxiety, well, here is one definition. Anxiety is what we feel when we are worried, tense, or afraid. Anxiety is a normal human response when we perceive that we are under threat, and it affects our thoughts, our feelings, and it affects us physically. Our hearts will beat faster. We may feel more alert at times. We may feel less alert at times. And this is perfectly normal. There are times that we need that type of anxiety to work well. I mean, if I'm walking across the road and this maniac car driver comes up towards me, a bit of anxiety, think, well, I've got to move quick and get out of there, is very useful. Anxiety becomes a mental health issue. Well, here are some examples. I've got these from the Mind website. It becomes an issue if your feelings of anxiety are very strong or they last for a long time. If your fears or worries are out of proportion to the situation, you know, if you're worrying about things that really aren't likely to happen, if you avoid situations because you think that they might make you anxious, if the worries that you have are very distressing or hard to control, if you regularly experience symptoms of anxiety, which could include panic attacks, or if we find it hard to go about our everyday life or to do the things that we enjoy. So these are signs of anxiety as a mental health issue, where anxiety becomes more than we would like it to be. And if we are in that sort of position, then really I think we have to start not by saying, I've got a spiritual issue here, but I've got a mental health issue. Now, I know that some of us in the church haven't made it today. Hopefully you're listening to this now. But some in the church, we haven't made it today because we're physically ill. There's this horrible bug that's doing the rounds and knocking people out at the moment. If you have that and you miss church today, you haven't got a spiritual problem. You are ill. And it's the illness that needs to be dealt with. And if we have a mental health problem, it's not necessarily a sign of any spiritual problem at all. It just means you are ill. And as with physical illnesses, there are things that we can do. So there are with mental illnesses as well. And as with physical illnesses, some are much easier to deal with than others. Some physical illnesses affect people the whole of their lives. Some mental illnesses affect people the whole of their lives. So I think that one of the purposes of this series of sermons is to try and lift unnecessary guilt from us. I mean, going back to Sermon 1, if you don't feel joyful all the time, okay, I'd rather you did feel joyful, but don't feel guilty about it. And please don't compare yourself with others. To Sermon number 2, if you don't feel that you're more than a conqueror, well, don't feel bad about the fact that you feel that you're not a conqueror. Don't think it condemns you. Actually, the passage Romans 8 that we read from, the whole point of it is there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. It doesn't say there's no condemnation if you feel you're more than a conqueror. And we went into that verse in a lot of detail last time, so I won't repeat it. And if we feel anxious, and I know for some of us this is a big deal, if we feel anxious, please don't add unnecessary guilt to that anxiety. God loves you, and He cares about you. An illness is illness. It's not a sign necessarily that we've done anything wrong at all. But I discovered something when I was looking at this text this week. And the version of the text that was quoted to me when I first asked for lists of texts included the word anxiety. But the word is actually not quite a word for anxiety. It's a much bigger word than that. In fact, another possible translation of the word is the word distraction. What Peter is talking about here are things that distract us from following the Lord. Things that stop us saying the verse that we read right at the start of the service, that the one thing that we want is to seek God together. Now, distractions can take many forms. Certainly, anxiety is one huge distraction for us. When we are anxious, we can find it hard to pray. We can find it hard to do the things that might work for our good. But lots of other things distract us as well. In fact, this same word is used by Jesus in the parable of the sower. That parable is about the way that we listen to what God is saying. And there is one group of people that Jesus says are like seed that got sown into thorny ground, and they seem to be doing okay. And then the thorns come up and choke them. And Jesus says that you can listen to Jesus. You can be listening well to him, but the worries, cares, same word as in 1 Peter 5 that we read early, and pleasures of this world choke. So this verse is about the things that would distract us away from following our Lord. And they're not necessarily anxieties. They can be things that we feel really, really excited about. You know, Peter says just after, oh, the devil's roaring around. You know, he's like a lion roaring and he wants to destroy you. Well, the devil uses many tactics to get us away from God. For some, it is their career. It's their job. And the work that they have becomes more important than God in their life. And what happens is, people like that, they hear what God is, they hear the wonderful message of the gospel, rather they respond to it. It seems to be great, but work becomes more important. It becomes a distraction. Now, don't get me wrong, work is good. God wants us to work. Work is important. There's great dignity in work if we're able to do it. But what happens is that somewhere along the line, work becomes God. And work becomes a distraction that takes some people away from God. Sports can be like that as well. Can you be a follower of Jesus and a sports fan? I hope so. No, you can be. Last night, I had a terrible case of split loyalty because I went to see the Manchester Magic basketball team playing, and they were playing the Essex Leopards, who I supported for many years, and I wasn't quite sure which my head and my heart were supporting. But that's another story. You can be a believer and a sports person. Of course you can. But for some people, following sport becomes the thing that distracts them from God. It can be the thing that takes them away from God, that somewhere along the line something slips and the sport becomes more important. Or it could be to do with a hobby. It could be family. Are we meant as Christians to care for our family? Yes, of course we are. The Bible tells us about the responsibilities that we have to our family. And of course we're meant to love our families. Husbands, love your wives. Parents, love your children, etc., etc. But these things can be great distractions as far as God is concerned. So what I think this verse is about is not so much saying what to do if you have a mental health issue. It's saying what to do when we recognize that there are things in our lives that could be drawing us away from God. So there's a bit of an inventory we take in, say, well, Lord, what is it in my life? What are the things that you care about today? What are the things that bother you? What are the things you've been thinking about in the last week? What are the things you've been taking action over? And we come to worship this morning and we say to God, God, today I place these in your hands. Lord, that thing that I feel anxious about, I pass over to you. Of course, God might then say, well, go and do something about it. But we do it, we do that because we've given it to God first. The passions that we have, the things that stir us, the things that we think are important. Peter says, in this translation I've got here, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. When we come to pray this sort of way, Lord, I give it all to you, what we're saying is that the person who really cares for us is God. Yeah, it's not, you know, we could get really excited about things happening at work, but I'll tell you something, the people you work with don't care for you as much as God does. The sports team that we follow do not care for us like God does. The thing we're anxious about today, whoever it is that we fear, does not care about us like God does. But there is one person who does care, and he is the God who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And we come to him today and we say, Lord, I'm giving that to you. And that might mean that we have to look at our priorities. It might mean sort of to take up the sporting thing that God says, well, it's great, you know, go and enjoy it. Just behave in a Christ-like way there. And Peter says just before this verse about humbling ourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. To be able to put all of our cares, all of our worries, all our anxieties and all of our passions onto God, we have to recognize that God is more powerful than we are, that God is stronger than we are. Now, what I'm going to suggest that we do this morning is that we have a go at doing this. That we have a go about thinking about what are the important things in our lives, what are the things that cause anxiety or they cause us joy or whatever, and to say to the Lord this morning, Lord, I'm giving it to you. Now, the reality is that we won't do it perfectly. The reality is that there'll always be a better way to pray than the way that we just pray, but we're going to have an attempt at it. And actually, what matters at the end of the day is not how well we pray. Doesn't matter too much. What matters is the God that we're praying to. And Peter wants us to know that he's bigger than we are. He's greater than we are. He's stronger than we are. And therefore, we can give ourselves to him. And he cares for us. I'm grateful to those who've cared for me. But God's care is far, far more. For the church that Peter was writing to, the main thing that they were worried about was persecution. Slaves were worried about how their masters were treating them. And Peter says, offer this to God.